The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto. Thanks once again for listening. So, just this last week, Savills have released a report just to say that rents are actually going to increase faster than house prices. And whilst that's really interesting, they're actually incorrect by the numbers that they've said, because what they've said is that, on average, rents are going to increase by about 20% over the next 5 years. Now, the reason why I say that their numbers are wrong is because the reason that they've stated as to why rents are going to increase by 20% is because of post-referendum economic uncertainty, in other words, Brexit, and weaker consumer sentiment, which basically means people don't know what's going on, and so they're not spending the money. So rents are going to go up. So that's what we're saying. That's why rents are going to go up 20%. And the numbers are completely way off. I mean, I forecasted 50% in the next 5 years. And so where am I getting 50% from? Well, look, there's three main problems going on in property right now. Now, where someone has a problem, another person is making a lot of money. Okay, so whenever there's something going on in the market, someone's making a lot of money somewhere. So let me explain what the three problems are. The first three problems in property are that at some point in the next 4 years, the amount of mortgage interest rate relief is going to basically disappear. So in the olden days, which means like last tax year and any time before that, if you're pulling in £1,000 a month of rent and your mortgage is, say, £900, then obviously, you know, you've made £100 profit. And so what the government's decided to do in their infinite wisdom is that they've changed that up. So now if you're earning £1,000, but, you know, you've got a mortgage of £900, then your profit is £1,000. Now, it doesn't take, you know, anyone with a basic high school education or middle school, frankly. Or frankly, my children understand that that doesn't work like that, you know. They're like 8 and 11, for goodness sake. But that's not a profit of £1,000 if you've got a cost of £900. It's £100 profit. That's fairly obvious to understand. But the government doesn't seem to be able to understand that. Might be why they can't balance the books, quite frankly. So what they're then doing is that the landlords are then going to be taxed, you know, that on that £1,000 profit. So, you know, let's say a 20% tax rate payer, they'll be paying 20% on that. So they're going to pay £200 of tax on a profit that's £100, which means they're down £100. Well, like, I'm not quite sure how that's supposed to work. There's only two things for that landlord to do. And the first thing is they can sell the property, so that is no longer a problem. The second thing, and bear in mind, we're taking into account here 20% landlords, not the 40%. 40% is much worse. Imagine on £1,000, you're then paying £400 in tax. So you're making £100, but you're paying £400 in tax. You've now got a shortfall of £300. So you're either going to sell up, or you're going to put your rents up between £100 and £300. Bear in mind, that's a 10 to a 30% increase. So that's on top of what Savills have already said, their post-referendum economic uncertainty and weaker consumer sentiment. Now, that's just one out of the three. The one being that interest mortgage relief is being removed for landlords. So that's why you've now got a 10 to a 30% increase just on that alone. That's not profits going up, that's just tenants having to pay more rent because of the tax situation that the landlords are now going to find themselves in. So what's point two? Well, point two is that stamp duty now on second homes is an additional 3% on top of whatever the original stamp duty was. So if you're already paying 2%, now you've got an additional 3% on top, so you're paying 5% of stamp duty. Well, what's going to happen there? So, you know, if I'm a landlord and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to buy another house, and I look at the stamp duty and I think, I'm not paying that. That's another like £5,000 to £10,000. You know, on a £200,000 house, it's more or less like 10 grand more. I'm not going to pay that. That's ridiculous. Why would I pay all that in tax? I'll move my money into different types of assets, maybe offshore assets, maybe into the United States or anywhere other than the UK. So what's then going to happen is that the people that were considering moving into property are now going, I'm not moving into property. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to spend that money elsewhere. And so what happens? Not only have we got the problem with number one, which is either landlords putting up rents or landlords actually selling, which contracts the marketplace, right? Contracts supply. And we all know that if you've got, you know, if I had the last Bic pen on planet Earth, that Bic pen that's the last one ever isn't worth 7p. It's more like 7 million quid because there is no other supply. And so people, you know, in the olden days, they'd go for the black penny stamps. I'm sure nobody remembers those. But they would buy the only other black penny stamp in existence and destroy it so that they only had the only black penny stamp in existence. And so it would like quadruple the price, you know? So what we've got here is we've got a contraction of supply because landlords are no longer looking at buying because of this 3% stamp duty. So you've got option number one, which is like a 10 to a 30% increase, depending on their current tax position. And then you've got number two, which is landlords are now not buying more property to replace the stock that other landlords have actually sold up. So you've got a market that's being constricted in supply, which means tenants. And I know this, people are going, yeah, but Dan, you know, the marketplace can only take on what tenants can afford. Well, tenants can afford 10 grand a month, some of them. Some, obviously, can only afford £400 a month, right? So the people at the bottom who can't afford that, then where are they going to live? They're not going to have anywhere to live, so we're going to have an increase in homelessness. But we're going to have a situation where literally tenants are scrambling over each other in order to get that flat that's gone up 30%. Because if they don't get it now, they're not going to get one. They're going to have nowhere to live, so they have to pay it. So a proportion of their income is going to go into renting, which means those that are actually wanting to buy property, and I'm all for people buying, that's going to be even harder for them. And so, you know, everyone talks about greedy landlords putting rents up. Well, it's not greedy landlords. This is the government that's forcing this issue. So that's step one, which is lack of mortgage interest relief. That's step two, which is stamp duty. And then that leads us at step three. Now, step three, I'm not really surprised that this change has come through. It was probably due, quite honestly. Let me explain what step three is. Step three is being able to claim 10% of wear and tear. So if you're generating £20,000 a month in rent, you're actually able to deduct 10% of that and allocate it to tax. So effectively, that, let's assume that all 20 grand was profit. You've got 10%, so that's £2,000. So then you only taxed on the 18,000. And so that bit has actually been removed as well. Now that's a bit that I quite liked because my numbers are certainly up and higher than those numbers, actually, but they're certainly up in that sort of ballpark. So as a, you know, let's say it was 20 grand a month rental income, and that, you know, the wear and tear allowance was £2,000 times that by 12, that's a £24,000 tax deduction, which is pretty cool, right? Now, I'm not surprised that they've actually changed it. So now, if you imagine that those numbers were correct, now I've suddenly got to find another £24,000 a year to pay to the taxman. Well, guess where that money's going to come from? It's not coming out of my pocket. Not if I can help it. It's going to have to come from tenants. That's the only way it can happen. So it's like we're heading towards this perfect storm. Of course, we've got Brexit and uncertain economic sentiment and so on. But actually, we've got this perfect storm of these three reasons. The first one being lack of mortgage interest relief. The second one being the stamp duty. And the third one, not being able to claim wear and tear. We're heading towards this perfect storm where, I mean, the situation is far from perfect. But as a storm, it's quite a perfect storm where rents are going to have no choice but to go through the roof. Now, I find it really interesting as well because we're talking about inflation. And what the government's basically done is print a load of money to try and deflate inflation effectively. And they've done a very good job of that, really. But they can only pump so much money into the marketplace before things start to take a turn. Now, obviously, they've stopped doing quantitative easing. And so what's going to happen now is that inflation's going to start rising. And what's coming through, lo and behold, inflation's starting to come through. We've already had the Marmite saga, you know, where Marmite's gone up like a whole 50 pence. But actually, that's gone up like 20%, depending where you shop, I guess. That's gone up like 15 to 20%. The euro has got, you know, 15 to 20% more expensive. We just bought a little playhouse using English pounds. And it's a little playhouse. It was 200 euros. It was for my little one. But because we live in Spain, we bought it in euros. But we actually use pounds to pay for that. So in the olden days, you see, that would have cost me, you know, maybe 160. Now it's probably cost me about £190 when we do the conversion rate. So that house has actually cost me an extra 30%. Luckily, it's a toy house, it's a playhouse, and it's only €200. But what that then means is that because we have to import certain goods and services in order to make our economy work, prices are going to start going up. And so inflation is going to start coming in. Now, it depends on whether you believe the conspiracy theories or not, quite frankly. But, you know, if it was me and I've got £1.5 trillion of debt, the easiest way for me to pay £1.5 trillion worth of debt down is to increase inflation. So let's just assume for one second that, and this is where my numbers go a bit AWOL, but let's just assume inflation's running at 10%. We make it 10% because I can work with those numbers. So £1.5 trillion, what is £1.5 trillion? Is that 150 billion, 1500 billion? I don't know what it is. But if you imagine that coming off £1.5 trillion simply because of inflation, you start then to understand that inflation is the government's friend. Now, if you're going, oh no, Dan, it doesn't work like that. Let me just take you back to ask your mum and dad. If you still got mum and dad, great. Ask them how much was their first property back in the 60s and the 70s. Just ask them. Like, when I asked my mum and dad, they're like, oh yeah, £2.5 grand. And I remember going back 17, 18 years when I first started getting invested in property, and I was asking them, wow, £2.5 grand. But bear in mind, like a Mars bar was a penny, you know? Fish and chips were like 21p. Like fish and chips in Leeds is like £4, £5. And so we've got this inflation. But what happens is we've got inflation is eroding the cost of debt over a period of time. So £2,500 back in the 60s and 70s wasn't £2,500 as it is today. £2,500 in the 60s and 70s was a heck of a lot of money. The average car, like I'm making these numbers up, okay, so I don't know what the average numbers are. The average car was like £400 in the 60s. That's a lot of money. But we don't live in the 60s, we're in 2016, depending when you're listening to this. And so inflation erodes that debt. And this is one of the reasons why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And I say this to people, you can bitch and moan about property as much as you want. It's unfair for first-time buyers getting on the market, it's unfair for renters, and it's going to get a whole lot worse. The only thing that you can do is actually to get into the game. If you're not in the game, you're going to lose. If you're in the game, which is really difficult to get into, a lot easier going back 18, 19 years. A lot easier. We had, multiples of income, far higher than they were now. Buy-to-let was only 15% deposits. And, the day of same-day remortgages, we should have done like 15 times more than we did. We did quite a few, but we certainly didn't do anywhere near enough in those magical days of buying below market value and remortgaging and taking cash back out. And actually, a lot of landlords got burnt doing that, so maybe it was a good thing that that didn't happen, because my controls and my finances back then were pretty dire, by the way. Were not as they are today. And so we're heading towards this perfect storm. So look, if you're contemplating property, it's like now is the time to start investing. And you say, yeah, but we don't know what's going to happen 20 years down the line. Look, there's no more land being built. Where are people going to live? London's got this massive problem in that they need to build like a lot more homes, 20, 30, 40,000 more homes every single year. Where do you think they're going to get built? They can't go on Greenbelt, and maybe they've got no choice. They're trying to do brownfield sites and build, you know, tall blocks of flats. But London's only got a certain amount of land. And so, you know, the amount of tenants that are coming into London is always increasing. And these people have got to live somewhere. And actually, the people at the bottom end are simply being priced out. So you've got this choice. You either get into this game and start investing in property, or start, you know, cutting your costs, start making some additional income. You know, we're back to those three rules. Cut your costs, generate the cash, invest the rest. Even if right now you can't invest the rest into property and it has to be invested into something else, that's great. That's a good start. At least then your money's starting to work more than you do. So I'll tell you who works harder than I do. My money works harder than I do. My money is by far the hardest working thing that I've got. I'm quite lazy these days. But going back, you know, 15, 20 years, I had to put in a lot of hours and so on because I had to work harder than my money. But now, because of the property that generates a cash flow each and every month, my money's working harder. And whatever's left after that cash flow, we put that into more assets, which then generates more cash flow. And so that money's continually working harder and harder and harder. And as the rents start to increase, and as my debt in real terms is starting to depreciate due to inflation, that gap between what we owe and what we're worth is increasing. And that gap between what our costs are on mortgage costs each and every month and what our income is each and every month is also expanding. Obviously, right now, we've got very, very low interest rates, and you need to stress test your portfolio to make sure that if it goes up to 60 or 70%, if interest rates go up to 6 or 7%, that you've stress tested your portfolio and that you know that your portfolio is going to work fine. Because if not, you're going to have a problem. So the key from this then is Savills got it wrong. Okay. 20%, not in your dreams. It is going to shoot up 40 to 50%. Guarantee it. Now is the time to start investing in property. Even if you're buying crappy little two bed houses for 40, 50, 60,000 pounds, that's generating £400 a month. That's a great place to start. And later on, you can sell those when prices go up. But it's about getting your money working for you. It's not about you working harder than your money. The people I feel sorry for right now is the number of groups of people. The people desperately trying to save to buy their own house because rents are about to go up. The people who are currently renting because rents are about to go up. And people right at the bottom. I was reading in The Guardian just last week about a guy, single dad, fought for his kids to get access. He's got access. And it's just him and his four kids. He's not got a job because no one will employ him because he's got school runs and kids off sick and all young kids. And due to the new housing benefit rules that have come through, he's actually down £350 a month. So basically, he's going to end up homeless because the landlord's not going to put up with it. And the landlord shouldn't put up with it. The landlord shouldn't have to subsidise people at all. That's not what they're there for. That's the government's job, to subsidise and to help the people most in need. And this is probably another podcast lined up, really, frankly, but the way in which we treat our poor people is despicable in this country. It's an absolute shambles. And I'm embarrassed to be a British person, I'll be honest with you. Because the way in which we just allow, I mean, you know, for example, is it the disability living allowance? That's been cut by £30. Like, £30 doesn't sound like a lot until you need that £30 to eat. And then it's everything. And it's appalling. I can't believe that we live in this world. And yet, you know, corporation tax has cut from, I don't know, 20 to 18%, is it? I've just got my tax bill through. Look, stick it back up to 25%. I'd be more than happy to pay that if it helps the people at the bottom end no longer have to decide whether to eat or keep warm today. It's a disgusting sort of situation, and it's one that I'm very, very embarrassed about. Now, obviously, we've got the charity work that we do, which is handing out backpacks to homeless people. But I'll be honest with you, it's like pissing in the sea. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. It makes a difference to that individual, of course. But overall, to all the thousands of people that are homeless within the West Yorkshire area, it makes no difference whatsoever. And so I'm embarrassed. And we're going to have a surge of homelessness, and it bothers me greatly. So look, The best way, the first step that you can do to help the poor is by not being poor. And you can do this by cutting your costs, generating more cash, and moving that money over to buying an asset that generates more cash. All right, hope that's useful for you. A good session there today. My name's Dan Latour, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.